This is CliffCentral.com.
Youth Leadership Platform.
Fear's a powerful thing. I mean, it's got a lot of firepower. If you can figure out a way to wrestle that fear, to push you from behind rather than stand in front of you, that's very powerful.
I have a dream.
Multiplying leadership, moving society, the millennial way.
You don't want to end up going after goals and dreams and neglect yourself.
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau.
Listen, take control. Take control of your city. This is the instrument of your liberation.
See, old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did.
Identify yourself to the world.
Platform.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau. Follow the conversation on at Simply Bongani, YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram, and the Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook. Again, this is another exciting episode. we are tapping into, I guess, a minefield that's really tapped into. We are speaking about a conversation and a narrative that's often spoken about out of context. And I realized this more when I read this powerful piece that I'm about to give you a glimpse of. So on WordPress, I was sent a link to an article that was written by Nhlanhla Simphiwe. And what the question that she posed, which is a very powerful and important question, she speaks about what is Black excellence. So let me take you through a journey of what the mind of Nhlanhla has been wondering about in relation to this. Because our topic today is about Black excellence, or Black excellence-ish. Because we're about to define a way what that means, or what it should mean and shouldn't mean, or just explore the topic and the narrative in a way that hasn't been explored before. So it goes as follows. So I graduated the other day, which is the 24th of April. I had been looking forward to this day for weeks. It was different this time. I wanted it to be different from all the other graduations. I knew exactly what I wanted and how I wanted it. The dress I wore, I fell in love with it at first sight. I knew it was the one and bought it immediately. I knew I wanted to treat myself and celebrate myself. I wanted to bask in all the glory of it. I was going to remember hearing my name being called, remembering the face of the Vice Chancellor and the Registrar. Most importantly, I was going to remember the walk, guys. After all, I had worked damn hard for this qualification. I endured too much, so I was going to celebrate this achievement because the moment represented more than just the pass that I had passed in life. I passed the challenge that was set before me. I conquered. I was going to be in the moment and take it all in. And when the moment arrived, I did exactly that, took it all in. So the title of this post is, what is Black excellence? I ask this question because I genuinely want to know. I'm a 29-year-old Black female with 4 qualifications. That's who I'm sitting across from, guys. I posted a picture of my graduation with my fist up in the air and I captioned it, hashtag I am Black excellence. Because I looked at it and feel and believe that I am Black excellence. However, I admit that after posting the picture with that specific caption, I was left with a bittersweet feeling and somewhat prideful, as though I was indirectly saying that anyone without a qualification isn't Black excellence. I didn't feel good. And the thought that another Black child may look at the picture and feel bad about themselves made me feel even worse. It reminded me of a post I had seen on social media about a 23-year-old graduating with her doctorate. It was really beautiful to see. I liked the post. However, long after I had seen the post, I asked myself if I wanted still to be defined as Black excellence if I graduated with my doctorate at 30-something. I wonder if me not working for a big corporate company meant that I wasn't Black excellence. I wondered if not having achieved all the dreams made me a mediocre Black. I don't run my own business, or if I don't run my own business, I'm in the last year of my 20s and have yet to travel the world. I don't interact with successful people in quotation marks. This description sounds pretty mediocre to me. To top it all off, wait for it. I don't own an apartment in a secure estate in Midrand, she laughs. Although there's that joke about Midrand people not having no furniture. It would seem, though, that black excellence types find themselves in those areas. I looked up the definition of black excellence and found it in the Urban Dictionary. Thankfully, this isn't for academic purposes, and I won't be penalized for using this source, she says jokingly. The definition is as follows. Someone that is black and portrays great qualities and abilities that make the black community proud. So sitting across from me is this wonderful, majestic, achieved, and well-accomplished black, proud, and powerful woman. That is Nhlanhla Simphiwe. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform.
That is such a nice introduction. Thank you very much for having me.
So take us through the moment of conception when you reflected on this, and what then inspired you to go and write such a very important and powerful piece that, you know, it had me jumping off my seat. I'm like, I had to have a conversation with this woman.
Well, maybe I should tell you the history.
Sure.
But I really, I haven't been blogging for long. This is actually my first official post or article on WordPress.
Sure.
So I'm just overwhelmed with this sort of reaction or response to it.
Sure.
But I was challenged by a new friend to start writing, and I think because maybe he saw something in me. And I think in the very first post where I introduced myself to people, I mentioned what fears I have and the fact that I don't even trust my own writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is new for me, and I didn't know that I could write something that would make people want to introspect and want to have a conversation.
Sure.
And I think the achievement was that I want to say or to write things that are thought-provoking.
Sure.
I wanted to, you know, to write things that I know are honest and a true reflection of what I feel and think.
Okay.
And so this one, I had been wondering about it for the longest time, but obviously I didn't have a platform where I could have this conversation with anyone about it. And so when I was challenged, I was like, okay, what should I write about? I prayed and whatnot. And this one really, really, like, I felt the conviction really strongly. And I decided to ask, what is black excellence? And I asked this because on social media, man, it's graduation season, right?
Sure, sure.
And all you see is graduations, people happy, hashtag I'm black excellence, or whatever.
Hashtag you won't get this at ShopRite. Which is, I feel it's very appalling for someone to say such a thing, yes.
You know what I mean? So, such things, you know, and I have friends in my life who haven't attained qualifications and are working hard at attaining them, and they feel very small because I guess we've also made them feel small for not having a qualification, as though to say, because you don't have a qualification, you don't run your own business. Because the ones that don't have qualifications, they have their own businesses, and then they go and say, I don't need a qualification. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So it's that back and forth.
Yeah. So for me, I look at my friends, I look at myself as well. And I also want to attain a lot of things,
sure.
You know. I don't think I'm necessarily the definition of black excellence. But I wanted to ask my fellow black people, what is it? Why do we say certain people are excellence and others aren't?
Not,
and why are we waiting for people to graduate, for them to come and show us their nice big houses, their businesses? Why are we waiting for those moments to say you are black excellence? What about the process of getting you to achieve that goal?
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I just felt, because I don't know, in the article as well, I speak about a friend, I make reference to a specific friend of mine.
Sure.
And You know, when I think of her, I'm inspired by her. And she doesn't have a qualification. Mm. She only went to, she's a year older than me, so she's already 30.
Okay.
And she only started studying last year for her qualification, you know. But I think she's Black excellence. Mm. You know, without a qualification or what we have defined, I don't know if it's social media or just how that's how we are mm-hmm. in general. And therefore, social media is just reflecting that, you know, what we think. Therefore, we go and we show it. Mm. So she's Black excellence to me. A lot of my friends are Black excellence to me, but I feel they are not celebrated enough. You know, they're not made. I mean, you switch on the TV, you don't see people talking about you. You know, we have all these people who are not going to tell you about the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to tell you after the struggle that, yes,
I struggled,
but they're not telling you the specifics of it.
Sure.
You know, it's just I struggled. It wasn't easy, but here I'm running my own business. You should also run your own business. Why are you sitting at home and not doing anything when people are really trying to do their best?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you would also know that. I mean, like, as a young Black person in South Africa or in the world generally, it is not easy for
mm-hmm,
us,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I just felt I can't be Black excellence if my achievements will make another person feel small about themselves.
Sure.
You know, so I just, I don't know, I just wanted that because I really don't know what Black excellence means. You know,
sure.
I just know what I've seen
mm-hmm.
Or what it's been portrayed to mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted somebody to maybe sort of break it down for me
sure.
to say this is what Black excellence is.
So I'm going to backtrack a bit and we're going to go back to foundations, because what we are hearing now and what we I'm seeing now is a finished product of years and years of teaching from a woman that's sitting directly across from me behind you, who is your mother, who yes. came to support you.
Yes.
So let's talk a bit about your childhood and growing up with this kind of supportive mother.
She's very supportive.
Sure.
She's like my biggest cheerleader, and she pushes me to be. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh my goodness! No, that's okay. That's okay.
But she's my superwoman.
Sure.
You know, she's a teacher, so definitely, you know, she would instill those. Sort of principles of wanting to study further and whatnot.
Sure.
But I don't know. She says I've always been smart. So I don't know. I started school very early.
How old were you?
I was 5 years old
sure.
in 1994. And she's always done her best to make sure that I get the best education, you know, that she could afford.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, I went to boarding school when I was 10 years old. I was in grade 6, so that was pretty young. But she trusted her gut, she trusted her instinct, because she wanted me to get a good education. And I guess we've defined good education as going to
Model C
and yeah. having a white
twanging,
teacher.
You come back home.
Yeah, so but she's worked very hard. She's worked very hard. And she made a lot of sacrifices to get me to be where I am today. And I always say, like, because people, when they see you now, you know, speaking
finish.
With a twang, you know, looking nice, they assume that it's always been like that.
Sure.
But I'm not going to lie and say that I had a terrible childhood. I had a good childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Esprit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
in the East.
Yeah, in the East.
Yeah.
I was born there. And Vislala is Sunrise. The name of the place is called Sunrise. Mm-hmm. But I have like pretty pictures standing in front of our of Mkukwasikai. And so that's where we started. That's where my parents started. And
sure.
you know, it's sort of now we in the burbs, I guess you would consider that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also comes with its own challenges.
Sure.
You know. So my childhood was good. I was a quiet child, very into myself, introverted. And I guess growing up or getting older has pushed me
to
have conversations with people like
zone.
You. Yeah, but I think, I mean, I'm not going to leave out my dad because he was part of the equation for a long time.
Sure.
And so him and my mother, they did what they could as far as that foundation was laid. I mean, I'm in the sciences. I studied science.
Sure.
because they pushed me. They're like, you must do biology and math and science, you know. And I did that. And I guess I proved that maybe I was smart to be a scientist of some sort. But yeah, I had a good childhood. I was very quiet. My mom was strict, like any black mother.
She'll whoop your ass.
Yeah, so she did a good job, even if I must say so myself.
Yes.
But yeah,
she's
a great inspiration. She studied as well. You know, she furthered her studies, and she's also, you know, aiming to study further now. Mm-hmm. So education, she's always pushed for it. But I think the greatest the pioneer, actually, the real pioneer is my grandmother.
Okay.
Her mother.
Okay.
Who doesn't have a formal education.
Sure.
I think Ucineka Sapi, grade 2. And she's always pushed her to study. And, you know,
in turn
pushed me.
Which is, now everything is just escalating and escalating.
Yeah. So it comes from my grandmother who has always valued education. You know, she's always saying funzani, you know. So yeah, so when I achieve, she achieves, and my grandmother achieves.
A bit of YLP trivia. What does your childhood smell like? So think of a dominant scent that, you know, was very present in your childhood. Was it, could have been your mom's scent, food, whatever the case was?
Oh my gosh. Macheo.
Oh, okay.
The homemade ones.
Okay.
My great grandmother used to make them.
Okay.
So that's not these ones that you buy. No,
sure,
like the real, you know, with that ferment and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah, really nice.
So you'd come in and it smells like
Macheo.
Yes. what does it sound like?
What does it sound like? Mm. One memory that just came now was playing in the rain.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, playing in the rain, like when it would, Mpumalanga is nice. Well, it was nice back then.
Yeah.
So when it would rain, we'd go play outside with our tops off and just, you know, play in the rain with other kids. So that's the sound.
Besibanga titties. No, can I flu?
Of course, of course. But I mean, that's the one that comes to mind vividly.
And what does it taste like?
What does it taste like?
Yeah,
I don't know.
What something that you ate like? A lot. Something that your mom. Oh, think about your favorite dish.
My bunchies.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, my bunchies. I love beans.
Okay.
The kidney beans, the brown ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. With bones.
Sure.
Yes.
So now, fast tracking. Now you are leaving high school. You were going to university. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you pick Pretoria because I guess it's closest to where you are residing at that particular point in time.
It was very complicated. It didn't just happen.
Take us through that.
I wanted to study psychology.
Okay. Why psychology?
Because I've always been fascinated with. I've always felt like I can help people.
Okay.
You know, I've always felt like I want to be able to listen to people and to talk to people and understand people. So I want to understand, if you do something wrong, I want to understand you, you know, and I want to get to the person.
That, know. At the core of that, like, what's going on?
Yeah,
why
are you a rapist? Like, what happened? Tell me what went through your mind type thing. Or if you... You know, if you don't, I don't know, like, I've just always wanted, like, I used to watch Dr. Phil religiously.
Yeah.
You know, before he even had his own show, and he used to be on Oprah.
Sure.
So I was like, you know, I'd always watched. So I wanted to study psychology, but then we didn't agree with my parents because they wanted me to be a medical doctor.
Okay.
Right. And they gave me him. These were sob stories about how they didn't have opportunities and I did math and science.
Reverse psychology.
How dare you want to do psychology? Yeah.
How poetic.
Yeah. Why you want to do psychology? Do you ever seen black people go to psychologists
in
your life?
Yeah.
You
know,
what's wrong with you? How are you going to make money? So then that's how I found myself. And then I applied at UJ. I remember I applied at UJ for psychology and biochemistry because I felt like it was a good compromise.
Okay.
I still get to do what I want to do.
Sure.
And then I'll do the sciences as well because I did the math and science.
Sure.
And then I think I was accepted. I think I was accepted. But then it wasn't enough. Someone, one of my parents, heard from someone that, no, Medunsa, Medunsa, they're applying, go to Medunsa. We went to Medunsa. Medunsa said, no, we're full. Because it was like the last week of January before classes could actually start.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we then went to Medunsa. They said, it's full. And then they're like, no, but UP. UP is still open. You can go there. We went to UP. And at UP, they said, no, we're also very full, but there's an extended program, BSc, that's still open to take students. And they put you there if you want to do medicine, but you were not. So that first year or 6 months gives you time to sort of figure yourself out and see if you would pass and then apply for medicine. And so that's how I ended up at UP.
So what was your first course of study?
I did biological sciences, extended program, and I did it for the longest time because I couldn't figure out. I mean, I did apply for medicine, but I really wasn't into it. So I was happy when they didn't accept me. Mm. But I still.
But I confessions. Still, your mom has her eyes open in her mouth.
Yes, I was very happy that it didn't accept me because I didn't see myself like. I'm cutting people up. I don't like doctors generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I feel like. So I feel like I don't want someone guessing what's wrong with me.
Okay.
I don't want us to guess what is wrong with me. I want us to. Like, and also when I come for a consultation, when I have questions, I don't want you to not want to answer my questions.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, okay. I don't want you to say, oh, yeah, I know. Let me feel here, okay, I think this is what's wrong with you. But can you tell me what might have caused that? Like, have that conversation with me. Okay. Try to get
so
me to
in
understand.
Depth. So
yeah.
For them, they're just rushing.
Yeah, into I feel like
giving you a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Get out of my face. And go get
like,
medicine.
Yeah, and I feel like, but this is my life. Can we try explaining to me what's happening here?
Okay.
So I don't like that some doctors. I'm not gonna say all because there are good ones, but I don't like that some doctors. Are very dismissive of their patients.
Okay.
And I think one experience that actually made, she's going to be shocked by this, that made me not like doctors is because my mom had a miscarriage because of a doctor.
Huh.
Right? And I felt like it was negligent of them to not pay more attention, you know, and actually do what they were supposed to do.
Mm.
And because obviously we don't know that doctors have certain responsibilities or obligations to their patients, you know, you don't do anything about it. So for me, I've never really liked doctors. Yeah.
Now you finish your first degree, you've been through so much already. Because of obviously what happens in university, the workload and everything. And then you're like, "Ah, but mom, I'm going back for another one." Why would you do that to yourself?
My plan.
Okay.
Was always, even when I was still in high school, I wanted to do my honors. I thought that I'd ended my honors, you know, so I knew that I wanted to do the basic undergraduate degree, but then want to do my honors. You know, I didn't know I'd go further than that, but that was the plan, you know. And when I was then supposed to do my honors, then there was no money and it was complicated. But eventually then I was able to do my honors.
To do your honors.
Yeah, so I was very happy about that because I didn't want to. I didn't figure myself out yet, you know. I felt like I wasn't ready as well to go out and work, and it just felt is it immature or premature for me?
Sure.
I felt it would have been premature to just go out and work, and I don't know. I know I always wanted to do my honors, so even if I'd done my psychology, I felt I was 17 when I was doing my first year. So I was like 17, 18, 19, okay, fine, you finish 20, you know, you do your honors, 21, you start working.
Sure.
Obviously, it didn't work out that way.
That way, yeah.
Yeah, because I only got my qualification, my first one at 21.
Oh, okay.
And then honors at 22. But that was the plan, though.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Three degrees later, same industry?
Yeah.
What are some highlights that you have from this journey, to be precise, that you feel have made you wiser and stronger as a woman?
As a woman.
Yeah.
This journey has really tested my faith.
Okay.
It has tested my faith. It has tested my patience.
Okay.
With myself and with God.
Hmm.
It took me away from God and back to Him.
Interesting.
You know, because especially I think my last year of studying, my basic qualification, that was a very difficult year. Like home-wise, things were not great and whatnot. And it was the first year where I didn't... Well, I didn't fail a module.
Yeah.
Because all the, you know, you always fail that one module.
Sure.
And carry it over.
Yeah.
But it was the first time that I didn't fail a single module. And so I was like, but God, you're good. You know what I mean? Like, you, even though all this emotional turmoil is happening, where I guess a lot of people would have gone astray and, you know, maybe given up or whatever, or failed even.
Sure.
And I would have been justified in not doing well at school because of what was going on. And yet I managed to pass all of my modules, and I got the average mark I wanted. I didn't aim very hard. Like, I wanted a 60, at least a 60.
Sure.
And I got that, you know. So it showed me who God is. He showed me His love. And through it, I also got to see what true friends will do for you, you know.
Mm.
They prayed for me, you know, they prayed with me. They were there. But I know with my final, my master's, there I gave up. I gave up for like 6 months, and then I'd go back to it again. And I guess it's that thing. I'll go back to this Black excellence
sure,
thing,
sure.
Where you, or maybe just personally, how you define success and how you define failures, mm-hmm. and whatnot. So for me, I was like, but I'm 25 and I'm still, and that was not part of the plan.
Sure.
You know, the plan was by this age, I must be done with
You're working, you
yeah,
have you know, every
I have everything that
material
I want.
Material thing.
Yeah,
yeah. A 25 year old you have.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I gave up because things were not going. No, I wasn't failing because I was doing research.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was taking long because you need people to do this with you or for you and whatnot. So it was taking too long, and I felt like I'm stuck, you know. And you're looking around, you're like, but people that I went to varsity with are succeeding. They're excelling, you know, they're living life and they're able to do things for themselves, for their families. And here I am, and I'm unable to provide for myself or sure. to help out at home. So, I learned that I actually have more faith in God than I think I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually a little more patient.
Okay.
than I was, you know. And I'm also learning that maybe I actually may be smart and intelligent. Yeah.
Black excellence. Let's get a bit into the nitty-gritties of just the term and how and why it was coined. Are you familiar with how it was coined? So let me ask the question this way then. Do you think it is a term that fosters a bit of oppression in as far as its definition is concerned, because it only caters for a certain group of people and it's very subjective?
I think we've made it cater for a certain type of group or person. We've made it as Black people. We have gone and decided that black excellence is going to be defined by this.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm gonna look at an example. Let's think of Thibaut Touch.
Okay,
right. That is going to be our definition of Black excellence.
Mm.
You know, we are not looking at Ntuthuko from wherever in
sure,
life.
Sure.
You know, that's setting goals for himself every single day to say that, okay, if I can get maybe they're still in high school, you know, and maybe they're not the smartest and brightest in the class, and yet they go to class every single day. They're
sure.
not giving up. They're not saying,
oh, yes,
I'm not in the top 10.
Some are even failing those grades, maybe yeah. repeating them.
But they wake up every single morning and they take a bath, make a conscious decision that I'm going to class and I'm going to try again. For me, that is also Black excellence. Those kids should be celebrated. Right? We should be saying to them that continue. We are proud of you. The fact that you are continuing to make what would seem as sacrifices.
Sure.
Right. So we, without the help of a white man, we've taken our Black excellence and measured it up against white excellence. And that's the problem. That if you don't drive a car, you cannot be excellent. If you don't live in Stanton, you how are you excellent? And that is why I guess as well, when we grow up in the townships and we start making it in life and are arriving at our destination, we then move to the burbs and then say, I've arrived.
Oh, yes. You know?
So we've made these certain things our arrival spot.
Like material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, I've arrived, I'm here. But then that cannot be it, you know?
And we don't take into account the effects of, obviously, our immediate past.
Yeah.
Where we start off in life, the cards we have been dealt as Black people and the society that we live in. You know, it's shocking how I got the opportunity to interview the MD and partner of Goldman Sachs, Colin Coleman. And he was talking about pulling statistics of how the Black majority, like a large majority of them, so not even half of them, are part of the key players within the economy. So they are everywhere else except at the table where the actual decisions are being made. And so obviously speaking to the sentiments of what they were trying to start and how it was going to help people from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. But back to you, with in terms of, so with yourself as a person, sitting down and thinking about the concept, are you Black excellence? And what does that mean?
When we break down the two words,
sure,
right? If you're going to look up Black, we know what Black is. And we look up excellence and, and define what excellence is, right? You'll come up against the words are not coming, but basically you've done absolutely well. Like, oh my gosh, you know? But a friend sent me a voice note yesterday after reading the article.
Sure.
And he said to me, he found a definition about excellence that said it's rising above. Right? So for me, I've risen above a lot. When I look at my grandmother and where she started, and I look at where my mother, where she took over from my grandmother, and I look at where I am
where
today,
you are.
We have risen above a lot. Sure. I have risen above a lot, you know? So I am excellent, yes.
Sure.
Based on the fact that I have risen and I continue to rise, right? I continue to rise up above what has been set before me to say that you cannot achieve this and I'm able to achieve those things, right? But they're not without struggle. They're not without patience and wanting to give up and whatnot. But, and yet I am still hopeful. I wake up and I'm hopeful to say that I will try again, right? When I said I had plans to say 17, 18, 19, I finished. It took me 5 years to get my basic qualification, right? That's a stretch. But I got it in the end. And I shouldn't be celebrated for getting here. All these other years where I was struggling and yet hopeful, those make me Black excellence. In fact, they form a big part of my story because I rose above. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's rising above. It's continuing to try. It's doing your absolute best with what you have, you know, and how you can. So, I go back to my friend, guys. It's 17 years old. 17 years old. She had to worry about getting money to pay for her school fees so she could get a matric certificate.
Sure.
Right? And that isn't fair, right? Yes, life is not fair. It's never been fair. It will never be fair.
Yeah.
And yet she did that. You know, she didn't say, oh, I'm giving up. I'm going to go and do this and that in order to, you know, so that life can be easy for me. She went and she looked for a job at 17 years old. She paid off her school fees. She still couldn't go and further her studies. Right? She had to pay for her little sister's high school fees. That's not fair.
Sure.
And she did it. for me, she is more excellence than any 17-year-old at that time who just went from matric straight to varsity, right? Because she, I know at some point she didn't want to see her. She didn't want to see us, you know, her friends who were studying for, because that's what she wanted. And one time I said to her, but you are, I'm inspired by,
you.
Because I don't think I would have been able to do that.
Sure.
You know, I don't think she thought she would be able to do that until she was faced with us and she saw how much strength she has and how selfless she is, you know. So she has risen above. She continued to rise above. I continue to rise above. You continue. Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's rising above.
Tell me this. Let's talk a bit about black and then excellence. What is it about, now I'm asking metaphorically and asking a black person regardless of gender, what is it about black that makes them not crack? Because rising above is the order of the day as a black person. We can all comfortably establish that as a foundation base because of where black people have started off, you know, their footing and what they've been given, the resources and everything. So what is it about black that makes them not crack?
Oh, wow.
For now, I'm asking for an individual. Don't be pressured to answer this question for everyone, just for yourself.
What makes black not crack? For me.
Yes.
I think I'll go back to my ancestors.
Okay.
Right? I think, yeah. I think they were not cracking, right? They didn't crack.
Sure.
And how can I crack when they didn't? So for me, it's foundation. Foundation is important. Knowing who you are and where you come from.
Sure.
I guess that's where I'm getting with that whole ancestral situation. Sure. but knowing who you are and where you come from. I think if you look at your history, and it doesn't really have to be my direct family.
Sure.
You know, I can look at other black people that have passed on and seen their struggle and what they fought against and how they didn't crack. And continue to be stirred in what they believed in. I think for me that makes us not crack. I think, in fact, can I just tell you quickly?
Sure.
I am Winnie Mandela. Right.
I was about to say something. To that.
It when the, I think a week after the funeral and everything, right? A friend said to me, "You guys love Winnie Mandela so much, and yet, you're only, you know, raving over her during
now.
The whole process of you know, the funeral. She passed it out.
Sure.
But now that she's gone, what then about her legacy?" You know, and I then tried to then, you know, sort of like tap into that spirit of I am Winnie Mandela, because I also had a picture up with my fist and the Duke and whatnot.
Sure.
And I looked at it for a couple of days when I was facing my fears, you know, even with the writing. I was like, okay, I won't tell you, but but even with the blog, writing my first article, I kept saying, but I am Winnie Mandela.
Yeah.
You know, she fought and she endured so much. And yet, you know, she didn't wobble.
Yeah.
She didn't give in.
She wasn't moved.
Yeah, she wasn't moved. She knew exactly what she stood for.
Sure.
So if people like her, if people like my mother, you know, stand for something, and why can't I stand for something? You know, why should I want to give up so easily? You know, when there are challenges or hurdles put before me, you know? So I can't be cracking when I have that.
Wow. Excellence. So I will talk about excellence from a point of getting a degree. Your opening statement in the blog, you speak about obviously passing in a challenge that was, you know, placed in front of you and conquering and seeing it through to the end. What do you think is the role of a degree? Is it to show us how smart a person is? Validate their intelligence? Now I'm just throwing things, different random things at you. To validate their intelligence, which is linked to the first one. Or just to certify, I beg your pardon, their competence in a particular industry. So I'm asking this question, it's a loaded question. Because my follow-up question to that is, do people need degrees to be valued and to be seen as smart or intellectual equals with people that have taken probably their studies to like PhD. Did you catch the first part?
What did you say again?
That's a very long question. So, degree, does it certify your competence in a particular industry? Or validate your intelligence? Or tell us that, oh, this person actually is intelligent?
No.
Okay.
For me, a degree has helped me know how to think.
Okay.
It has helped me know how
In what sense? In what sense?
So, if you say this water is colorless, yeah, I won't just accept it.
Oh, okay.
You know?
That you've gone into it like, more intricately.
Yeah. So, okay, for me, it stretches you to think bigger and farther than you would have.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure.
Some people, they don't need degrees to help them. They're naturally like that.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's when we need to understand as well, that there are people that really don't need it. Umuntu can read as many books as they want and they'll be able to understand. That's why you get geniuses.
Sure.
Right? And some of us are not. Some of us need to go to school.
Mm.
Need to be taught.
Okay.
Need to be told. Go to a lecture room. Take down these notes. Study and whatnot. So for me, it has taught me how to think. And I think this was made aware to me by the fact that much as I studied science, right, and I probably would be an academic in some university, being a lecturer or doing research in a lab and whatnot, writing journal articles, but that's not where I ended up.
Mm.
I ended up working for a regulatory body, doing legislative work, doing secretariat work.
Sure.
And totally, totally different from what I studied. I studied biology, human physiology, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Chemistry, biochemistry and whatnot. Mm. And yet I'm able to do the job that I've been, you know, I went for an interview. They even asked me, why are you here? Because you did science and this has nothing to do with science. But because I can analyze, I gain certain skills that allow me to be placed anywhere. You could place me in a boardroom with your economists, and I'd be able to have a conversation with them,
sure,
because I've been taught to be able to think and to ask the right questions,
sure,
and whatnot. So for me, I'm not validated by it.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Sure.
I'm not defined by it.
Okay.
You know, I am not my degree or qualifications.
Sure.
I know who I am outside of those things, you know.
Mm.
And actually, even writing the article was hard for me because I don't like to like feel like, you know, oh, you studied so much. Oh, my God, look at you. I don't. And she knows as well.
Sure,
you know, because I feel like I don't want those things to ever define me, you know, or for people to look at me and see that girl with this qualification, you know. I want people to see that girl as being that girl, you know, and simple as that. Like, have a conversation with me and then judge me after you've had a conversation with me, not to just say, oh, your title is doctor, therefore, you know, you must be smart. I may be the dumbest person on earth, because we do have dumb people with degrees.
Sure.
Some buy them, some just regurgitate,
sure,
you know, and don't know how to use whatever skills or didn't gain any
skills. The application of it. So theoretically, they are inclined, but application, it's like...
Exactly.
It's a whole different world, yeah.
And that's why then you have the argument between people that did go to varsity and those that didn't, that say, but look at her, she's dumb. because it's not necessarily that if you get a qualification, you are automatically smart. You worked hard. You do work hard. I'm not even going to downplay that.
Sure.
We work damn hard, guys. We don't sleep. We cry. You know, we do all sorts of things.
Sure.
And when we get them, we should achieve that. I mean, we should celebrate that.
Oh, yes.
And it's okay for you to say, oh, wow, good for you.
Because it is. Because you worked hard and this is what you wanted for your life.
Yeah.
And you got it.
Yeah.
So a 17-year-old Ntlantla sitting somewhere listening to the podcast and... Now she's gotten a bit of a heightened understanding of Black excellence and she's navigating her way around defining it for herself, right? What is your parting message to her?
It's in the process.
Okay.
Finding your treasure. I'm reading a nice book, The Alchemist, right?
Oh, Paulo Coelho.
Yeah. And it's while searching for your treasure, you know, you will gain so much. And when you'll realize that when you find the treasure, that actually you've always had it.
Mm.
You know, it's just a matter of the experiences gained, the difficulties you're going through, the laughs, you know, because we do have light moments in between. All that is building your character. All that is building you for that final destination where you get to really see your treasure or your gold, whatever it is that you're searching for.
Sure.
So for me, if I told that I would go through difficulties and it's okay, you know, it doesn't make me less of a person. It doesn't make me less smart, you know, but it's helping me. It's grooming me, you know. So if you have to walk to school barefoot, it's okay.
Sure.
It's part of your story.
Sure.
You know, and when you now own your Louis Vuittons,
then
you will treasure them so much more because you know what it means walk barefoot.
Sure.
So it's in the process. It's in the journey. Like, it's happiness is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
This life is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about finding your purpose, and you won't wake up and know what your purpose is in life or what your calling is in life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through certain things in your life, and then you'll be like, oh, actually, maybe, you know, you'll feel it. You'll know it. The universe aligns itself. God, you know, will always be there. That still small voice will always speak to you. So it's a matter of listening to that still small voice. It's
sure.
a matter of surrounding yourself with people that push you and encourage you and motivate you, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah.
So the ultimate treasure is yourself, and unwrapping the gift that God has given the world in you comes through the process.
Yes.
So enjoy the process. Understand yourself. Enjoy the journey towards understanding who you are, because that will ultimately impact the world in manifesting those gifts that are locked within you that come only through understanding who you are.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming to the Youth Leadership Platform. You are such an inspiration. I know a couple of girls that I had conversations with around your article that would love to have conversations with you. And I think with some of the people that will be able to listen to the podcast will learn a thing or two from you. And
you.
I think you just need to go and keep trailblazing this new heightened understanding of Black excellence for everyone else that hasn't seen what we've seen, to see, enjoy, and draw inspiration from, to go through their own process. It is the Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook, YLP Cliff Central, on Twitter and Instagram, and at Simply Bongani across all social media. Tell us what's working, what's not working. Download the podcast, share with your friends. Tell us who you want on the show next, or what kind of conversations and topics really you want to hear next on the Youth Leadership Platform from our team and from Tlantla Simpiwe. What are your social media handles, by the way?
At Simpiwe.
Okay.
On Twitter, at Simpiwe on Instagram, and Tlantla Simpiwe Mtembu on Facebook.
Awesome. From the Youth Leadership Platform team, see you on the next podcast.
This is CliffCentral.com.